All right. Ecclesiastes, the end of chapter 3. Picked the wrong one. All right. The end of chapter 3. So, we're in Ecclesiastes. We're talking about Solomon. We're letting the man who has the wealth, has the wisdom, has the power to test and to try and to see everything under the sun and what value that it may have or may not have. And he keeps telling us it's meaningless, it's meaningless, it's all meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And he explains it and then says it again. And he's going to start working through some of the things that are meaningless. And it's kind of like he's talking to someone and a thought runs through his head, kind of like me. He's talking about one thing and then he'll skip and start talking about another. Then he'll come back to something. And so I'm kind of thinking Solomon has a little bit of ADD or ADHD because he bounces back and forth a little bit. And this is kind of one of those, but it does flow together. And we're going to be jumping a little bit today, a little bit of Romans, a little bit of Ezekiel, but a whole lot of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading in verse 16. And I saw something else under, important, under the sun. Something else that is a part of this world, not God's kingdom, not beyond the sun, but here on earth. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I thought in my heart, God will bring judgment both on the righteous and on the wicked, because there is a time for every activity and a time for every deed. I also thought, while I'm on my thinking, as for men, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. Man's fate is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. One dies, then the other dies. So Solomon's back on his, hey, welcome to church campaign. We're preaching love and hope. Your dog's going to die, your cat's going to die, the animals on your farm are going to die, and you're going to die. It's going to happen. We're all going to end up in the same place. We're all going to die. Joy to the world. Okay. All have the same breath. Man has no advantage over animal. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust and return to dust. When he says all go to the same place, okay, this is not talking about beyond the sun or below the sun. You understand what I'm saying? This is not a heaven hell thing. We're going to get there, but this is not a heaven and hell thing. This is a ashes to ashes, dust to dust. From the earth you were made, to the earth you will return. All right? We bury the animals, we bury man. We're all going back to the dust. So when you think about it, meaningless, all right? Who knows if the spirit of man rises upward and if the spirit of the animal goes down to the earth? I saw that there is nothing better for man to do than enjoy his work, because that is his lot. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Solomon begins to ask a question that he's going to ask again later. And he starts to wonder in his brilliant mind, what's after this? Now, you have to understand something. Solomon did not have the benefit of the New Testament. Solomon had wisdom beyond all reason, beyond anything. He was intelligent in a way that you and I can't even comprehend, okay? God-given wisdom. But he did not have the advantage of what we have, and that is the history from then to now. That is the New Testament. That is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so there are, and we're going to talk about this a little bit, there are three major belief sets or systems when people begin to answer this question. The question of what actually happens. I don't know if my soul goes upward and the dog's soul goes downward. It's where they got downward facing dog yoga. No, never mind. I don't know if all of our spirits go high and then some go low. That's what he's doing. In his mind, he is saying, what happens when the life under the sun is over? And across the universe, there are many things, but there are three major belief systems in the world, all right? They all have different offshoots, but there are three major things that people believe, all right? The least percentage of people, but there are enough of them to make it, you know, credible, even though it's not credible, there are enough. The first belief system is nothing happens. The end is the end. You started, you end, and that is it. Okay? That's number one. Okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is, you started, you end, and then you come back and start over. Okay? You start, you end, and then you come back and start over. You might be a goat, or a lizard, or a moth, but you start over. Okay? And the theory, nobody will say, there's all kinds of, but the general theory behind that is this. We need to be good, okay? This is why we're moving toward that. We need to be good. So our return is an opportunity to fix that which we had not gotten right the first time, okay? We'll go over the problems with that in a sec, all right? Three, the giant scale belief. And sadly but truly, most people in the world of believing in gods in general buy into this theory that once we arrive, there is a giant set of scales, theoretically or otherwise. And if we do, all of our good is placed on one side, and all of our bad is placed on the other side. And if the good outweighs the bad, then moving forward in joy. If the bad outweighs the good, uh-oh. Okay? There are lots of people who believe the Bible that we believe who believe this. Okay? All right? But there are issues here. Okay? Here's the issue with the first one. It's the greatest gamble in history. There is no science before it, no science after it. We could talk for years with anybody. We could. You could love them. You could. That's it. That's fine. I'm there. But you need to hear me say this. You need to be able to say this. That is the greatest gamble in the history of the universe. Because there is no answer to what if it's not. Okay? If I'm wrong with where I believe, there's no gamble. I'm rolling no dice. It's if I'm wrong and it ends, I've lost nothing. If you're wrong, you've lost everything. There it is. That's the simple of it. It is the greatest gamble under the sun. I'm not going to go into any of the science. That's it. Okay. Number two, the problem with returning to re-good, refix is twofold. Number one, nobody who returns knows what it was they did wrong the first time. So how can you fix what you don't know that you did or didn't do? The second is, if you return as said goat, how is it that you're going to fix the marriage that you broke? If you return as a cow, how is it that you're going to fix what it was you did wrong, the people that you cheated? This cycle doesn't work, and it leads to the greatest problem with number three. If it's all about the scales, God is evil. You can't say that from the pulpit. I just did. If the scale model is true, God is evil. Let me explain. There is a verse that says, it is coming. It's a paraphrase. It is coming. All of us will die, comma, and then judgment. Okay, the Bible says it. All of us will die, and then judgment. Okay, that's next. Now, if the scale is true, and we need to see if that's viable, if the judge is in fact just, which he says under the sun, I even found that justice contained evil. I found that judgment contained evil. Here's the problem. Let's assume that we have a guy who rapes and murders a young 12-year-old girl who was walking home from her parents' house. And that guy stands trial before the judge. And the judge says, what are the charges? He attacked, raped, and murdered a small girl. And the judge says, great. Now tell me about some of the good things that he's done. And they list all those good things. And the judge looks out at the mother and the father of this girl and says, he has done more good things than this. He's going free. Anybody buy into that being a good thing? Then why do you think heaven works like that and that God can be just and act like that? But Craig, why do good people go to hell? They don't. You're trying to phonetically create something that can't happen. The greatest question we hear is, does God send people to hell? No! Here's the phonetic problems with that. Problem number one, God doesn't send anyone. Two, he doesn't send people, he sends sinners. Well, doesn't the Bible say we're all sinners? It does, but you've left off the comma. There's a giant comma. His name is Jesus. There's the difference. There is a fourth option. There's a fourth option. Listen, listen, listen. We don't get to take parts and not the whole. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning? No, we died to sin, and in it you can live no longer. If we have been united with him, we will certainly be united with him again. We know that the old self is gone so that the body might be undone and we no longer become slaves to sin. If we die with Christ, we believe that we will live with him. You count yourself dead to sin. There is a change that occurs that makes you no longer what you were, but what God made you to be. Therefore now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set us free from sin and death. What Jesus did was he took all of the bad up on himself, all of the bad across the expanse of time, onto himself. And when he died, that sin died with him. And when that sin died with him, it can no longer be in him. And if we have him, when we get judged, we are not judged on what we did, but on what he did. The only difference, good or bad, in somebody who makes it through the gates and somebody that does not, is they are holding the hand of the Son. There's an old story about Abraham Lincoln and Robert Todd Lincoln, that's his son, showing up at the gates of the White House, all right? And there's a little boy, and he says, you can't go in. And the other little boy walks up, and he says, he's with me. And they walk in together. Why? Because the son of the president was going to his house. The Son of God is going to enter the gates, and if you're holding his hand, you enter too. The end. No weight, no measure. No death, just life in the Son. And that is the difference. But that is not from under the Son. He came from beyond the Son. It was broken a long time ago. Adam broke it. We are sinners through Adam. we are saints through Christ. You are born with the problem, people. You are born with the problem. Who teaches a two-year-old to be selfish? No one. Who teaches a one-year-old to lie? No one. It is in us. And Jesus can take it from us. People say all the time, it's not fair. Fair's not in the scripture. The only thing that is whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. And there is nothing under the sun that is of any consequence other than, as Paul said, to know him and then to what? Make him known. Know him and make him known. The New Testament doesn't contradict the Old Testament, folks. It doesn't. It simply enforces it. See if I can find this. All through the Old Testament, there are prophecies about a Messiah. But within those prophecies and within those sermons, there are also stories of us, of our situation, of our coming and our going, okay, our following and our falling away. And in Ezekiel, he even talks about us having a heart that is far from God, that will be at one occasion or on one day made right, made new before God. And in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke and in John, in the gospel translated good news, the good news is that that Messiah has come and that we can have him. We all, believe it or not, like Solomon, question what happens beyond this life. Nothing that I've said in the last 15 to 20 minutes matters if you don't believe this. If you don't believe this, it doesn't matter. And again, I would say, you know, roll the dice. I don't have to. I don't even have any dice. I don't need them. Jesus came, saw, and conquered two things so that I don't ever have to fear those two things, sin and death. He wiped out sin by living. He wiped out death by dying and rising from the grave. The only two weapons the devil had, sin and death, Jesus beat them both. And when he returns, he will beat them again. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again now. In our pursuit, all of our pursuits, be it our work, be it our money, be it our family, be it our children, all of us are in constant pursuit of something. In our pursuits, we will find nothing that will give us meaning for eternity. Nothing that will give us any hope under the sun. It will all be chaff in the wind. But with Jesus, we can find something that will, does, last for all of eternity. And we have an answer to the question that we can believe in, that we can trust in, that we can have hope in. Not that we will have to do more work, but that the work has already been done for us. There was a rabbi and one of the great theologians of our age, A.W. Tozier, and a rabbi were on a train together. And they had an incredible conversation over hours and hours and hours about all of the similarities and all of the differences in the religions that they both practiced. And as it came to the stop where Tozier had to get off, he steps down off the train. And he turns back to shake hands with his new friend who had actually walked to the door with him. And he said, of all the things we have said together, the difference in our thoughts, the difference in our beliefs, is a very simple difference in spelling. You spell yours do, D-O. I spell mine done, D-O-N-E. Huh. The price has been paid. That is option four. That is what I believe happens when we die. Don't have all the answers. Do all dogs go to heaven? I don't know the answer to that. Do mice? I don't know. Do cows? I don't know. Do mosquitoes? No way. Can't. Nope. Nope. No mosquitoes, no flies. I'm pretty sure of those too, because they take joy. They take I'm with you. Let's add spiders. Snakes. Snakes. All right. We're becoming God. Let's make a list. Time out. Do you see how easy that was? Do you see how easy it is for us to take our wants, our desires, our needs, our emotions, and use the scripture to plug them in to make heaven or hell what we want? What's heaven like? I don't know. And I'm very skeptical of people who think they do. Very skeptical. The Bible is clear, and you may not like me for this, but the Bible is clear. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and they never will. So be very careful. You hear me? I'm going to step on some toes here. I'm going to hurt some feelings. I don't care. Listen to me. Those books, those movies out there that say, I went and I came back. Not biblically possible. Heartwarming? Absolutely. Have they worked for evangelism? Absolutely. But they're not true. They can't be, or my Bible lied. And that can't be. So be careful. Well, my preacher said I couldn't watch it. I didn't say you couldn't watch it. Go have a good cry. Good cries are good for you. Well, it was a great movie and it affected my heart. Great! We all need our heart to get a swift kick of love, compassion, stuff like that. But if you base your theology on it, you're going to lose, because those things are anti-scripture. And if you'll read deep enough, many of them have turned out to be copies of one before them just to make money, or coercion for cash. Why do you think there's so many of those books that have been written in the last 10 to 15 years? Now they're movies. And do you know what drives them all? Be very careful what you believe. On a side note, be very careful what you read, what you believe, and what you pass on. Social media has made this a nightmare. I was watching a TV show last night that was incredible at showing us how fast, how hard, and how bad it can affect politics, families, children, adults. It was amazing. I was telling Jamie, I was like, everybody should watch this episode. It was an episode of Madam Secretary, and fake news happens, and she's a murderer before noon the next day. None of it was true. And then it showed the repercussions of that throughout her life at that time till it was proven otherwise. It was awful. And I was like, everybody needs to see this. Be careful what you buy into. Test. Listen. Craig, would you include the Bible when you say test it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Craig, if you're telling me to test everything, do you want me to test your words? Absolutely. You know what happens when I figure out I said it wrong? I got to stand up the next week and say I said it wrong. And it ain't no fun. But I do it. Go ahead. test this. I know it's true because I know who wrote it, and he is truth. There is something that happens in your life when God calls you. And we're not going to go defining or pointing fingers. But the Bible says that the Spirit draws you and compels you to come to him. Most of us know exactly what that feels like. Some of us know what it feels like but have no idea how to respond to it. Some of us know what it feels like and have no intention of responding to it. Okay. Here, you're never going to hear me verbally lasso you and pull you down to the altar, push you to the floor, and teach you exactly what to say. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to look you in the eye and I'm going to say, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. It's as simple as that. I didn't say it was fair, but I promise you it is true. I promise you it is just. I promise you it is right. I promise you it is Jesus. And there is no other way. And once you respond to that, he's got you. He's got you. You're never out of his reach. If it's true. If you really believe him, that's it. Now, Craig, can't you just tell, you know, can you ask all the Christians here to raise their hand? Yeah, I could ask. But I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know for sure. You can raise your hand. You know what I know then? I know that you can raise your hand. And the person next to you knows if you use deodorant. Those are the two things we know. Now, there is a way to tell, but that's over the long haul. You know how to tell? How do you tell an apple tree is an apple tree? How you tell a banana is a banana? You know how you tell a Christian to Christian? Their fruit. What are they reproducing? What's flowing out of them? That's how you can tell. But 100%? No, I'll never know if Chris, Leslie, Steve, your relationship with God is between you and God. Here's what I do know. I do know that you've got to have a relationship with him. And I do know that once you have a relationship with him, you should make that relationship public. You should not be ashamed, but should let everyone know. And we do that. A lot of churches do it by coming forward. We do it by telling somebody and then letting that somebody tell somebody else and then sticking you in the pool and dunking you and saying, I was old, but now I'm new. I was lost, but now I'm found. They found me in the pool. Look, hey. We testify. You know what happens when you testify? Somebody else finds him too. We've been watching it happen for 4 years here. All right? Ecclesiastes. I moved my marker. All right. God will bring to judgment the righteous and the wicked, and there will be a time for every activity. All right? Here's how he finishes. So I saw that there is nothing better for man than to enjoy his work, because that is his lot. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Well, we have the New Testament, so we know what happens after. But we can take some advice from Solomon. Do and be what you're called to do and be, and you will find joy in your labor. You will find hope in your task. People come to me all the time. I just don't feel like I'm doing what I'm called to do. Well, that's why you're unhappy. I'm not doing what I'm created to do. Well, that's why you're not finding any joy. Go, do, be what you're called to be. And listen, whether word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. See, some people are doing exactly what they're created to do, but they're doing it for others. They're doing it for themselves. They're doing it for their boss. No, 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 no. Whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all what? For the glory of God. And in this, you will find hope in this world. But there is only one hope beyond the sun. And that is Jesus. All right? Next week, we move into more meaninglessness. All right? But it will be good. We talk about friends and friendlessness, oppression and toil. We see the awe of God in a couple weeks. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. I want to ask a question of you. If you do not know, if you do not know if you will go to heaven or to hell, if you will have life or death beyond this life and beyond the sun, call me. Come up to me after church. Find someone who you know is a believer and say, hey, pray with me. Look them in the eye and say, hey, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died. I believe he rose from the dead. And we need to be partners. We need to be in a relationship. We need to be together. We used to call it coming into our heart. That's totally fine if that's still what you want to do. All right? But that's not the only place he is. He's everywhere. All right? So I don't want that to be make people feel odd. If he's in my heart, how can he be here? He's everywhere. But that stands for a relationship. If you don't have a relationship with him and you want him, I want to share him with you. There are lots of people in this room who want to share him with you. And then we want to have a party. We want to celebrate. We want to fill it up. I want Randy to waste the water. I want to have to drain it and fill it and drain it and fill it. I want the water bill to go through the roof. All right? All right? We just don't need water coming through the roof, which it might. All right? Let me know. No awkward invitations. A simple friend to friend. Let me know. We'd love to share Jesus with you. Okay? Okay, let's pray, and then I got some announcements. Father God, thank you for your son, Jesus.